On the morning of March 10th, 1993, a motorist passing through the eastern side of Lake Andes, a town situated in South Dakota, near the Missouri River and close to the Nebraska border, when they witnessed a chilling sight. A woman's body, floating in meltwater between Route 281 and a railroad. The motorist called the police, who diverged on the area and carried out their investigation. The following morning, beneath 4 feet of water and 15 feet away from where the female's body was found, authorities discovered another body, which belonged to a male. Identifying the female was difficult, as the body was badly decomposed. However, a tattoo aided in their quest to name her. The man's body was in better condition, and authorities had no trouble in identifying him. The pair were Ruby Brugier and Arnold Archambault, a couple from Lake Andes who had been reported missing 3 months earlier. Arnold Archambault was born in 1972. From the Yankton Sioux tribe, Arnold grew up within the reservation, located in the southeastern portion of Charles Mix County, South Dakota. Following the passing of his mother when he was 13 years old, Arnold was brought up by his grandmother. By December 1992, he was residing with an aunt named Karen Tuttle, and he was employed at the Fort Randall Casino. During his time at Marty Indian School, he was a popular student and actively participated in basketball and was selected as a member of an all-Native American team to embark on a tour to the Soviet Union in 1990. Ruby Brugier, born on January 11, 1974 in Wagner, was also of Yankton Sioux heritage. Like Arnold, she was raised on the reservation and received her education in Lake Andes. Ruby and Arnold were never married. However, in 1991, she gave birth to their daughter, Erica Marie. According to her father, Quentin, Ruby was a gentlewoman with a wicked sense of humour and was incredibly kind to everyone she knew. During the night of Saturday, December 11th, 1992, 18-year-old Ruby and 20-year-old Arnold and their friend 17-year-old Tracy Dion set out on a marathon of partying that lasted until the early hours of the following morning. By around 6 a.m. on the 12th of December, they found themselves back at Tracy's residence, where Erica was left behind. Tracy's father, awaiting their return, confronted them. Arnold inquired about retrieving Erica, but Tracy's father immediately noticed signs of alcohol consumption. He proposed that they entrust Erica to his care for the time being, suggesting they could retrieve her later that afternoon, a suggestion to which they acquiesced. Tracy assured her father she intended to accompany Arnold and Ruby, and they departed shortly thereafter. Shortly after, nearing 7 a.m, the trio found themselves at a three-way junction with US Route 281, also designated as US Route 18 and South Dakota Highway 50 at that location, about 1 mile east of Lake Andes. Arnold, assuming the role of the driver, adhered to the traffic signal. As he executed a left turn on Route 281, their vehicle encountered a treacherous patch of black ice on the road, causing it to flip and come to a halt just off the highway. The vehicle settled in a depression between the road and a former railroad, right of way, approximately 75 feet to its north. In an account later provided to the television show Unsolved Mysteries, Tracy recalled that although she did not witness Arnold exit the vehicle post-accident, he was nowhere to be found inside when it finally came to rest upside down. Throughout the ordeal, Ruby repeatedly exclaimed, "Oh my God, oh my God," while striking the vehicle. Eventually, Ruby managed to force open one of the doors and escape. Tracy attempted to follow suit, but found the door shut, trapping her inside until rescuers arrived some time later. Both Arnold and Ruby deserted the vehicle, with Tracy inside, for reasons unknown. As dawn broke, law enforcement had already initiated a search in the vicinity. Despite the frozen terrain around the vehicle's resting place, authorities harboured concerns that Arnold and Ruby might have strayed somewhere and encountered problems in the icy conditions. Officers meticulously combed the frozen ditch, with one officer traversing the opposite side of the railroad tracks, speculating that the pair might have wandered towards the lake area, which was similarly frozen. Deputy Bill Youngstrom, drawing from past experiences, recounted numerous incidents where drivers and passengers were unaccounted for after accidents. Many of these occurrences involved revelry and alcohol consumption. Initially, his suspicion inclined towards the notion that Arnold and Ruby might have absconded due to intoxication, fearing legal repercussions such as Arnold's potential arrest for driving whilst intoxicated, a DWI. He speculated that they might resurface in a few days' time. Contrarily, Karen, Arnold's aunt, harboured doubts about Arnold's inclination to flee. She held firm in her belief that he would have either returned home or made contact to assure them of his safety. However, days passed without any word from him. Ruby's mother, Myrtle, echoed Karen's thoughts. She couldn't fathom why Ruby would remain out of contact with Erica and the family for such an extended period. She speculated whether Ruby might have encountered harm or faced obstacles preventing her from reaching out to them. Despite exhaustive efforts, law enforcement found no indication that Arnold and Ruby had succumbed to hazards caused by the plummeting temperatures. Deputy Youngstrom, driven by a sense of duty, transformed the search into a relentless personal mission over the subsequent 3 months. He dedicated himself to exploring every conceivable lead, diligently pursuing clues day in and day out, yet his efforts yielded no results until the arrival of spring thaw. When Ruby and Arnold's bodies were found, the authorities were puzzled at the differences of conditions their bodies were in. Ruby's was heavily decomposed, and her clothing, except her shoes and glasses which were missing, had been frozen to the ground, whereas Arnold's body was the opposite, noted as being in fine condition and well preserved. The area itself had also been thoroughly investigated when police were informed of the couple's disappearance, which perplexed investigators when they retrieved the bodies. Autopsies were conducted in order to get answers in regards to their deaths. However, the findings only made the case more unusual. The absence of a clear time of death and any signs suggesting foul play baffled investigators. The coroner's assessment indicated that Arnold and Ruby had succumbed to exposure and had not sustained any injuries from the accident, leaving the circumstances surrounding their deaths shrouded in mystery. Deputy Youngstrom had been in the ditch area where Ruby and Arnold were found several times since Tracy alerted emergency services on December 12th, as had many walkers who regularly followed the path. However, he struggled to understand how the two bodies could have been missed for 3 months if they had been there for the entire duration. It was reported that the authorities believed the bodies had been elsewhere, then planted in the ditch. Oddly, a set of keys were found in Arnold's pocket, one of which belonged to a vehicle and two house keys. To this day, it has not been determined what vehicle and houses these keys were for. Furthermore, by the roadside, hair, which was determined to have belonged to Ruby, was found, yet it was strange that it had supposedly lain there for 3 entire months. Youngstrom believed that Ruby and Arnold were killed elsewhere, then abandoned in the ditch area. As time marched on, police received many tips from the public in regards to the deaths of Arnold and Ruby. Two men, reportedly in a dark blazer-style vehicle, were seen near the ditch in the hours leading up to the bodies being discovered on the 10th of March. However, police were unable to trace them. Believed to be a credible account, a witness reported seeing Arnold in a car with three individuals on New Year's Eve of 1992. The witness passed a polygraph test and strongly believed that the man she saw was indeed Arnold Archambault. A couple who were in the vehicle were later identified and brought in for questioning. They denied being in the car with Arnold. However, both of them failed their respective polygraph tests. Although any polygraph tests should be taken with a pinch of salt, as they are notoriously unreliable. Additionally, five other individuals approached the police, asserting sightings of Arnold and Ruby subsequent to their disappearance. One witness attested to observing the couple entering a vehicle following the accident, which was subsequently observed travelling eastward. Another witness reported encountering Ruby on January 20th, more than a month post-accident, and 9 days after she was due to turn 19 years old, in the vicinity of Wagner, South Dakota. These accounts further complicate the timeline and circumstances surrounding the couple's disappearance, adding layers of intrigue to an already perplexing case. In September 1999, the FBI officially concluded their investigation into the case, determining no evidence of foul play and attributing Arnold and Ruby's deaths to accidental circumstances. Sadly, there were no official suspects in the case, leaving Arnold and Ruby's loved ones without answers. Ruby's father, Quentin, holds firm in his disbelief that they perished at the location where they were found, suspecting that they met their demise elsewhere and were subsequently placed in the ditch to cover the killer's tracks. Arnold's aunt, Karen, is also convinced foul play was involved. Both families harbour doubts regarding the thoroughness of the police investigation. Members of both families believed the case wasn't looked into thoroughly enough, in part due to the fact that both Arnold and Ruby were of Indigenous heritage, which in general is an enormous issue, particularly in America and Canada. Ruby's aunt Sharon stated, quote, "When a Native American is charged with something, it's pursued heavily. However, when a Native American is a victim, it's not pursued with the same perseverance." Arnold's cousin Mike took aim at the investigators, stating, quote, "It sounds like you're trying to cover your butt. It sounds like you didn't investigate in the first place." Karen Tuttle, Arnold's aunt, said, quote, "I don't believe the bodies were there because if they weren't hurt, they would not lay down and die." How did the bodies of Arnold and Ruby resurface in the very ditch where their car had crashed 3 months earlier? Was it merely a bizarre twist of fate, an oversight in the investigation by law enforcement, or could it possibly hint at something more sinister? A reward of $5,000 is being offered in hopes of shedding light on this case.